The Zen of Gentlemen podcast is brought to you by Beastly Beard Care, a company based in Woodstock, Illinois. Now let's get real for a second, gentlemen. No one, including your lady, likes an inchy, coarse, or shaggy beard. And what Beastly Beard Care does is provide superior quality beard products made in small batches that will promote healthy growth, soften, and give that beard a remarkable shine that you will love. And did I mention it'll smell great in the process? Hurry over to facebook.com/beastlybeardcare, and once you're there, give them a like and follow the link to their website so you can see for yourself all the great products that they offer. Now, when you go to checkout, add the promo code FREESHIP, and we'll take care of the shipping costs for you. We're also brought to you by Armstrong's All Natural, a company based in Brooklyn, New York, that has been making the highest quality leather care and skin conditioning products since 2014. They carry a large assortment of salves, waxes, and balms to keep you and the things that work hard for you in perfect running condition. They keep production environmentally friendly by sourcing only natural ingredients from local family farms that use sustainable farming practices in order to produce the purest handcrafted artisanal products. Everything they do is designed to give you, the consumer, the best buying experience possible, even down to the packaging that is recyclable or compostable. Now, it's very easy to find them on Instagram. Just search Instagram in the search bar for Armstrong's All Natural or visit their website at armstrongsallnatural.com. Now, when you get over there, use the code word Zen at the checkout and receive 15% off your entire order. Now, one more time, that's armstrongsallnatural.com. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Zen of Gentlemen podcast. We're your guide to being a perfect gentleman in an imperfect age. This is your source for discovering the gentleman within you. Listen in as we share with you tips to becoming well-groomed, well-mannered, and well-trained in the lost art of virility. Let's take the journey together with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Zen of Gentlemen podcast. I'm your host, Dan, as always with my ever faithful compatriot, Chris.
I like how you said that. Yeah. Hi, everybody. How's it going? Always faithful compatriot. We got to start doing that from now on. That's a good way to start the show.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yes.
So we are resuming our two-part expose this week.
Expose, you're using all these fancy words, man. Expose.
You're the one who started saying expose, and I'm like, that is awesome.
Did I say expose?
Yeah.
I think
when we were talking about doing this.
Oh, that's right. Our two-part expose. Yeah. You know where I got that from?
Where?
From the movie Money Talks. Did you ever see that movie? With Chris
I don't
Tucker?
Think so.
It was Chris Tucker and Charlie Sheen. It's a really bad movie. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be talking
no.
about it.
No.
But it's a really bad movie, like, but Charlie Sheen plays like this weirdo like news guy. He's like, we did a two-part expose on prenatal health care. that's where I came up with that name.
I like using rare words,
yeah,
though.
I think so. Expose works, and that's basically what we're
it's
doing.
It's the perfectly accurate word.
I think so. So this is part two of the toxic people in your life episodes. Mm-hmm. Episodes.
Mini-series.
So on last week's show, I like mini-series, that's better. On last week's show, Dan and I talked about basically some of the ways to help identify those toxic people in your life, whether it be a family member or a friendship or even your significant other, basically. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you might not know that you're in one of those relationships until somebody, you know, sits you down, points it out. And we hope that we gave you some little bit of insight to maybe also, too, that you might be the toxic one. You know, nobody's perfect.
I've been toxic before.
And as have I.
I'm not just talking about my blood alcohol content.
Stop drinking, man.
I've quit drinking.
Yeah.
Over a year
all
sober.
All people.
Yeah. So many people look at me like I have three heads on it.
Exactly. Like I had this one guy in my lodge tell me, you don't drink? He's like, well, I don't know if I can trust you. I'm like, okay. I'm like, we're Freemasons. Like, we have to. It's kind of part of our deal. Anyway. So this is part two. Like I said, we're going to be going over this time ways to get rid of those toxic people, mm-hmm. Or either get rid of them completely or limit their presence in your life significantly. We're going to go over. I got about four different ways you could do that. Dan, I don't know how many you have.
But I just have experiences.
I think that we
should. I don't come like you prepared with notes because I don't have time to take notes.
Well, I'll be honest. I do this about 15 minutes before you get here. So,
good, because I got one of my quotes like 3 minutes ago.
So now there's a few different ways you could go about getting rid of toxic people. Now, like I said, the first step is identifying that they are toxic, because the worst thing you could do is kind of just think that they're toxic when they're actually really not. And I've had that happen before. Mm-hmm. So there's a few different ways. We're going to go over them, do some social commentary about them, and even throw some personal experiences in there as well. Now, the first way I don't condone, but it works. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now it's a kind of a two-step process in the first one. The first one is deciding that you're going to get rid of every toxic person in your life, regardless of what it takes. Okay. You have to, and that's one of those things that even with each one, you have to commit to it. Mm-hmm. It has to be a line in the sand that I'm going to not tolerate this behavior from these people or this person anymore. That's it. I'm taking charge. I'm taking control over myself now. And then this is it. So once you have done that, I have found the easiest way, but like I said, it's not always the right way, is to completely delete them out of every aspect of your life.
See, I think that is the right way to do it.
I think so. Like I said, it's
like a Band-Aid.
Exactly. Rip it off once and real quick. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you completely delete somebody from your life? Lots of different ways.
Stop. I just stop talking to them.
You can stop talking to them completely. Here's the thing with that. When you stop talking to somebody completely, you do not have to give an explanation why.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to them at this point to figure out, well, what did I do? And then if they decide to be angry with you about it, that's really on them, and they're going to hold on to that behavior. Mm-hmm. And they're going to hold on to that emotion. You have drawn your line in the sand, like as we mentioned, and you're over it.
But in some sense, if someone does ask you, you can tell
There's nothing wrong. If they ask you, like, hey, what's going on, be honest, be upfront, and don't give in. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the best way to do it.
That can be very difficult.
Oh, especially if you're used to being if
it's someone you have a lot of interactions with.
Exactly. And if it's somebody that you've been dealing with for a very long time, who knows how to get at you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when you completely delete somebody, you can stop talking to them completely. You can delete your phone number change your phone number, completely block them on any sort of social media aspect. Blocking on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever else they might be on, because you know that they're going to try to get to you in every capacity that they can. Mm-hmm. So, but also too, as we mentioned, if they want an explanation, like, I want to know why, be honest,
tell them,
be upfront, and don't give in. That's mm-hmm. going to, because they're going to try to play on your vulnerability at that point, because you've just made this decision and you're still kind of, you might be still up in the air a little bit. Is this the best thing for me to do? And you have to go with it. You have to be strong enough to say, no, this is me, and you're going to listen to me now. Okay? Mm-hmm. I am done dealing with who you are. And sometimes it clicks in their head, and sometimes it doesn't. But you can't be focused on that. You have to be worried about...
And if you have to talk louder than them, talk louder than
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Whatever
you
push
from
to
your diaphragm. That's how you get loud.
another way, too, is if you don't feel like just completely deleting them, okay, you can, as far as like not talking to them anymore, that's a really harsh way to do it, but it's effective. You know, it works.
Definitely.
It gets the point across, and that's the whole point of the thing. Write them a letter.
Hmm.
Write a letter. You can handwrite it. You know, people don't handwrite letters anymore. I think that's a forgotten skill. That could be a show idea, by the way. I think writing letters that are not typed is a lost art.
I agree.
What do you think? I mean, nobody sends letters through the mail anymore. It's all email.
It's like back in the day, you get a whole bunch of letters in the mail. Oh, yay. Ooh, an email. Now I got all kinds of emails. Ooh, a letter.
Yeah, like it's completely flipped it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And like I remember listening to this commercial like a long time ago. It's on a lot of podcasts that I listen to. It's like they're sponsored by like stamps.com.
Yeah.
And they're like, their first line is, there's nothing worse than standing in line at the post office. Like, there's lots of things that are worse than saying, like, how about famine? You know, how about stubbing your toe on a coffee table?
Disease.
Yeah.
Pestilence.
The four horsemen, you know, like the whole thing.
Now I want to listen to Metallica.
Excuse me. Like I said, write a letter, buy some damn stamps, and go to the post office.
What's a stamp? 18 cents? 30 something?
I have no idea,
honestly.
Are you seriously?
Yeah.
They're like 49 cents.
Okay, 49 cents.
So for 49 cents, you can literally send a piece of paper all the way around the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when we used to ship like the stickers for the old show.
Yeah.
I used to send to Germany for like less than $2.
Oh, yeah.
And they would get there like in a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but seriously, started writing letters, people. I'm going to start writing letters. I know I'm probably, I send a lot of messages and emails, but I'm going to start writing letters.
That could be another thing too, though, is I always construct my emails like I do a letter.
I think you should.
I open it with a header to the person who it is. I have my, and I always sign sincerely Daniel McConaughey.
I sign mine sincerely and respectively. Like I got that from Abraham Lincoln. He used to sign his letters very sincerely and respectably, Abraham Lincoln. He was my favorite president. So
tallest president.
Yes, even without the top hat.
Yeah.
So also like write a letter, explain why you feel the way that you do, and be very specific on this. Like when you the thing about with toxic people is you have to cite out certain examples, or they're going to think you're just overreacting. And that's what they do. They just think, they're going to play the victim. Like, oh, it's not me, it's you, blah, blah, blah. Cite certain examples. Every time you feel a certain way, write it down, write down the situation. And in this letter, it doesn't have to be, it could be, 7-8 pages, it could be 20 pages, however long you feel like you need to get your point across. And point out all those examples where they did this, they did this, they did this, and repeatedly, and just so they can see their behavior. And then if you want to, you can still delete them from your life completely and let them know at the end of the letter, hey, look, this is our goodbye. This is a one instead of, me just dropping you completely. This is our goodbye. This is what you've done to me. And this is what I'm not going to tolerate anymore. That's a halfway decent way of doing it. That's a little bit more respective way to do it instead of just dropping them completely. Now, am I guilty of just shutting the phone off? Yeah, I've done it. And only because that I felt at that time I had no other option.
It's fair enough.
And have other people have done that to me? Yes.
And one thing with some toxic relationships, I don't think this is one that we have to worry about being the size that we are.
No.
Some people in a toxic relationship are scared of physical repercussions.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a great way. Obviously, for those of you who don't know us personally, Dan and I are fairly large men.
You're what, 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'3" and about 240.
I'm 6 foot and about 245.
Yeah, I'm about 6'3" and 240. We lift weights rigorously. You work in a demanding job. I used to lift weights. I'm getting right back into lifting weights religiously and rigorously again. I think once Mike's wife used to tell me, like, you could scare somebody just by talking to them. And she's like, that's why Ethan listens to you, because as soon as you raise your voice, he knows you mean business. And I'm not saying I scare my child, which I don't.
No, your kid's a sweetheart.
Yeah, he's awesome. you were here. He was here the last time we were doing the show.
Couldn't have even told.
You didn't even know he was in his room playing Mario Kart the whole time. But I think when you set boundaries and you start standing up for yourself, especially for people who are our size, people tend to kind of just get out of your way and just let you do it. But like I said,
which is nice because I'm a teddy bear.
Oh my God.
I hate physical.
My girlfriend says that to me all the time. She's like, you're so big. You're covered in tattoos. You got them on your hands, on your fingers, on your neck, like on the back of my neck, not on the front of my neck. I want a job one of these days. And that could be another show idea right there too, Danny.
Important. Tattoo do's and don'ts.
Yeah. Like, there we go.
Tattoos and don'ts.
You're so bad at puns, bro. So bad.
Yeah, I know. Talking with me can really be some punishment.
We just need to get that little hi-hat symbol thing here. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, if you don't feel like just shutting the phone off and never listening to the game and deleting them, oh my gosh, I'm stuffed. I'm so stuffed up right now.
It's okay. I'm yawning left and right.
If you don't think just shutting the phone off and deleting them from everything is going to solve it, is something that you want to do, because like I said, it's pretty harsh. It's an eye-opening experience. Write them a letter. Explain your whole letter. Be honest. Don't lie. Be specific on how you, on what the behaviors that they've done that you're not going to tolerate anymore, and the things they've done to you in the past. And then close it however you want to close it. If you said, well, I'm not going to speak to you unless I have to, or this is it, completely goodbye. But at least they know the reasons why, and whatever they think after the fact is none of your business. Another way, too, is, if you don't want to write a letter and you don't want to just cancel them out, and you still need to have this person in your life by whatever means you have to, whether it's a family member that you're close to, or they help out with childcare, or it's a friend that you have to see every day, like a
workplace proximity associate.
Really? Is that a route you travel down to? Say it again.
It's a Swansonian term. Workplace proximity associates.
Figures. Talk to them and set boundaries. Set as many boundaries as you would like. Hmm. Like I said, and this is also one of those.
That's a really good one.
This is also one of those things that you need to be real specific. I can't say it, specific on how this person behaves towards you. And you need to explain to them, look, I will do this for you, but this is where things stop. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I feel like you're crossing that line, it's over. You turn around and you walk away. Yeah. And that's really hard for a lot of people to do, especially when they've been, if somebody's been getting used for so long in a derogatory manner. Like, it's really hard for somebody just to walk away. I mean, a lot of this comes from having personal pride and being confident in yourself, mm-hmm. that you can do this. That's a lot to this whole thing. Because it takes a lot of sack to be like, nope, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. You just wake up one day and be like, nope, I'm not doing things this way again. I'm not going to let you treat me this way. I'm not going to let things go this way. We're going to do things my way. And mm-hmm. if you don't like it, I don't need you.
It kind of comes like one of the ways that I live my life, and it kind of ties into this, and it's one of my own philosophical views, and it is relevant. I'm not going on a tangent.
No, you usually do. You can go on a tangent all you want. I don't care.
Is I live my life for me. I have ever since I started really going on the path that I've been on in my life. I never did anything for any reason besides myself. I value people's opinions, yes, but at the end of the day,
It's what you want.
I never did anything for the sake of my own mother, even, who I love dearly. But at the end of the day, your life is you. And that's kind of why, my personal preferred reason, or I can't talk either today.
Man, something in the air, dude. I gotta change your air filter in here or something.
My preferred method of eradicating toxic people from my life is actually face-to-face.
Yes, I prefer to do business face-to-face as well.
Oh, yes. I absolutely detest texting.
You don't do it very often.
And also, if, as I mentioned earlier, some people might be afraid of physical repercussions, do it in a public place.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to an Applebee's, they're not going to hurt you. Now, maybe they might come later or something. Yeah. Have a friend over.
I think doing it in a public place.
Face-to-face is, in my opinion, the most difficult way.
But
because you have to explain it to them face-to-face. They have to listen to you face-to-face. You have to hear their response. It's really difficult.
You have to see their facial expression. You have to see their whole process and how they're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Denial, anger, all kinds of whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Sorrow, even.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's difficult, but it's the most mature way to do it, in my opinion. I've always broken up with people face to face.
I can't say that I've ever done that, but I've done it face to face and I've done it over the phone. Mm-hmm. I was dumb enough to do it via text message once.
I've been broken up via text message. It sucks.
If I had to go back and do it over again.
I've been broken up with over a Facebook message and a MySpace message.
MySpace message?
MySpace message. You know how embarrassing that is to say?
I don't even want to.
Especially any of the younger listeners.
Who don't know
who were pre-MySpace.
Yeah, I think most of us listening know what MySpace would be. But I broke up with somebody via text message. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I can't believe it. The more I think about it now, the more I think that was just a really pussy way.
It is.
I mean,
I'm not going to sugarcoat it to
you.
No.
I was a really pussy way of getting out of it. Mm-hmm. And I even said that to her. Like, this is a coward's way out. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I can't blame her for taking the coward's way out. I mean, she'd probably physically beat the hell out of either of us.
Yeah, she would. I mean, are we friends on Facebook? Yeah, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on it now, I probably should have handled it differently. I feel that way.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah, I feel that way about a lot of my past tribulations. But I probably should have called, at least. Mm-hmm. I probably should
have done it face to face.
I probably should have. At the very least, I probably should have talked to her on the phone.
At the very least, should have done it face to face.
At the very least, I should have done it face to face. But there was a lot on the backside that a lot of people didn't know about.
Yeah, of course. There's so, a lot of things that go into it. And like I said, I'd be scared of her beating the hell out of me.
Yes. Sometimes I enjoyed that, and sometimes I didn't. It was just a really bad situation. I'm not proud of myself for doing that. And I wouldn't say I was young, but I was younger than I am now, and I'm not as well-read and well-spoken as I was. And I look back on it, and I regret it. I apologize to her.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, like, hey, look, I was going through kind of a shitty time.
You extended an olive branch.
I did. You know, she...
I don't think there's any animosity there.
I would hope not. I mean, that was a long time ago, you know. I still think of her in a good way. I never have any bad feelings. I never said anything bad about her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's a really good person.
Yeah, exactly. And she does.
Someone I used to work with is how I know her.
Yeah, exactly. And she's a great, great mom. And
she is to moms as you are to dads.
Oh yeah, she's perfect. And she's a hard worker. She's a help.
Incredibly hard worker.
So I think she's just great. So like I said, looking back on it now, I probably would have handled things a lot differently. Mm-hmm. But I also was.
But that touches on the point that. I mean, there's times that you can be toxic yourself and not even.
And that was one of those days. Like, that was one of those times. Like I said, I wasn't always the best person to hang around with a few years ago. And
I'll agree with my own self that I wasn't.
It took a lot for me to. It took a long time for me to recognize that I wasn't the person that I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried a couple times to change, and then I wasn't around the right people at that time. So at that time, to let me change. So finally, within the last probably 6 or 7 months. I, surrounded myself with the right people and I, got things together a little bit, I think. I'm chopping away at that, that tree there to get it where I need it to be. But
Well, I can let you borrow my axe if you want.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
I have a few of them.
Your lumberjack beard oil. I think another way, too, is make them understand their repercussions for their actions. Now, this comes along, again, with being confident in what you want to have done or how you want to be starting to be treated. If somebody's crossing a boundary that you may have set, like say if you're talking on the phone and they're just talking and talking and talking and they're not listening to anything that you're saying and they're talking over you and then things are starting to get heated, hang up the phone.
Yeah.
Just end the conversation. You don't have to say a word. Just hang up the phone. And then don't
answer. You owe no one an explanation for what you do.
Exactly.
For your actions, that's what I was trying to say.
Exactly. And then when they try to call back, don't answer the phone.
Ignore it.
Just put it on silent. Throw the phone across the room. I don't know.
Or this is a crazy thing for a lot of people to think about. But you know what you can do? You can take the phone and there's a button that turns it off.
So you don't even have to know that they called. And they'll just keep getting your voicemail. I'll probably be blowing it up for a while. What either way.
And then you can do this crazy little thing. Go into your voicemail and keep pressing 7 for every message, and it deletes the message, and you don't even have to listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm perfectly okay with that. Now, another way, too, like besides hanging up the phone, would be, say if you're in a face-to-face argument or face-to-face conversation, whatever the case may be, and these people are starting to, cross the boundaries that, they've always crossed, turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
Just literally pick up your stuff and leave. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate being sometimes I hate being so personal on the show, but it adds to our
I feel so.
When it came to my family, like my dad is the one who left, and he left without saying a word. He lied and then left. So I probably will never forgive him for that. Like it's not
can't blame you.
But with my mom and my brother, I said something awful that was absolutely awful. If anybody didn't know the situation that was going on, but absolutely true. So I said what I've been wanting to say for years, and then I didn't. That was it. I don't talk to them.
That's
and
fine.
I have to maintain. My mom and Mike's wife are good friends, so she is our intermediary between when we drop off our child. So I basically, when I go to her house, I wait outside. Ethan grabs his stuff. And then he runs to me, and then I don't even have to talk to her. I try to keep it that way.
That's the best way to do it.
You
owe no one an explanation for your own actions.
It's not a healthy thing to deal with, and it's not something, she's always, like we talked about last week, where, great job, but, here you go. Like, this is something to remind you of the past. And it's just one of those people that think that you'll never be more than that 20-year-old kid who would get drunk every night and punch his boss in the mouth and I've done that more than once, by the way. And, you know, always going from job to job and never had a stable income and never had a stable car or anything else like that. And, you know, you're lucky you found your ex-wife or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, actually, I'm not, you know, she's lucky to find me. It's just a terrible situation all around, especially with like a family member, you know, but like it's something I had to do. And I also had to recognize that I might have some flaws myself. You know, it was a really, it was kind of an epiphical moment because like I had to realize like, look, this is not going to get any better. Like these people are always going to be like this. I mean, they would periodically call me just to ask me how I was doing and then tell me how much of a fuck up I am.
Wow. That's
like, I mean, just random phone calls. I'd be at work and be like, oh, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? Oh, so you're not doing anything? Are you still in the same shit job?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, you know, my brother would do that all the time. And then he'd call me on his way to work and come constantly complain about it and be like, oh, so what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm working, dude. What are you, you know, you're on your way. I'm working. He's like, oh, you still work for that shit company? Yeah, I do.
See, that'd be the point where I'd be like, yeah, I do. I love it.
Yeah, and while you're going to a job that you hate to sit behind a desk with people you don't like, I'm actually at a job I actually care about. So, and that never would sink in. So it was like I had to really sit down with myself and be like, this is what I have to do. You know, and, you know, holidays get a little shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's kind of tough. I mean, Danny, you know what I'm talking about.
I've got a lot of lost family members, so I...
Yeah, and like, and as we talked about last week, I mean, you know, I'd rather have, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas with my friends and have a good time and then being around people that I, you know, didn't really wish that were in the room anymore. You know, like, as we said, you don't have to be blood to be family. And I'd rather have, you know, those days to spend. And, you know, to me, it's not all about being around your family during the holidays. It's all about, you know, sharing and
it's being about the ones you love.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the ones that you care about, and regardless if that's only, you know, two people or if it's 40 people, I mean, do what you need to do. Like I said, birthdays and holidays kind of suck, you know, like, especially like, you know, you expect, I mean, even though like we don't speak, I always expect, I haven't talked to my dad in over 4 years. On my birthday, I always kind of expect, you know, he knows my phone number. I always kind of expect that, you know, hey, happy birthday. I mean, I wouldn't respond, but,
it'd still be nice.
It'd still be nice to hear from him. You know, my mom will probably call and or whatever, you know, but my brother has not ever given me anything on my birthday or wish me happy birthday. Or I remember one time I, when I got that job promotion, when I got the job promotion where I work now, I called and told him about it and he said, all right, good. Well, don't fuck it up.
Wow.
Said, hey, congratulations, man. Nice work. You worked hard for a long time to get this. Yeah, so don't fuck it up. Like, oh.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'll try not to. Jeez. Thanks again, buddy. I hate getting so personal sometimes. But so basically what I'm trying to say is removing toxic people can be, it can seem like a really bad idea once you do it. You're going to doubt yourself. You're going to be like, why? Oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, but you have to convince yourself that it's for the best. And that, I think that's the whole, that's the hardest part of the whole thing.
I do agree. And I think I'm going to take a little time and get a little personal real quick.
Okay, go ahead, buddy.
I'm going to go with an anecdote that kind of almost is counterintuitive to this. And it's that some people will try in their earnest to fix the problems and honestly be a better person. And if you so choose, give them a second chance. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think if they, if my family were to show me that, hey, look, you know, we screwed up and they said they were sorry and try to, you know, try to show me that they weren't the people they are or used to be, then hell yeah, I would.
And I'm going to go with an anecdote about that's an example of this. And I want to preface it saying I have a stepfather who is the man who raised me. I love him to death. He is my father.
Of course.
my biological father, I do love very much now. When I was younger, obviously, my mother and him divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd see him on the weekends. And there would be times when, as a child, I would be left waiting for him to pick me up and he would never show up.
No phone call, no nothing?
No phone call, no nothing, no explanation. He had a problem with substance abuse. He was an alcoholic, a drug user.
Okay.
I hope he doesn't get offended with me telling this story.
Is he like that now?
No.
Okay, then.
Right. And that's what I'm going to go into is he did have a problem with, as many people do in our area, pain medication.
That seems to be prevalent here.
And it started because of a medical actual problem he has, legitimate. He was, when he was in the womb, my grandmother had a shot so that she couldn't get pregnant again before she knew she was pregnant. And he's actually born without kneecaps, with his shins and feet facing backwards. So he spent the first few years of his life in the Shriners Hospital.
Really?
Yeah, oh because of surgery. And it's fixed now. His feet face forward and everything.
Yeah.
Painful.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine.
He can't bend his knees. So
even to this day?
Not all the way. He has some
range limited
of motion.
Mobility. Okay.
It's limited mobility, though. And it's painful. And so that led to substance abuse. And then probably towards my late teens, it started getting bad. And like there'd be times he'd pick me up and we'd go to do something and he'd be doing the nod off as he's driving.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, Rocky, I'm starting to get older and realize, wow, my eyes are a little bit more open. And then just I stop hearing from him for a while. And so he had had several arrests in the past. So I go on the website to look up the arrest records just for curiosity to see
it. Just to see.
And he had actually been arrested for, there were like three different counts. One of them was battery on a law enforcement officer. One was battery on a healthcare provider.
So he probably got arrested and they took him to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. There was another charge. And anyway, I saw that and I'm like, oh, all right, whatever. I'm done. I was 17 at the time.
Yeah.
He served his time and then he got out after I had graduated high school. And he called me, and I saw his name on my phone, and I'm like, why the hell not? Because in my mind, he's already
gone.
He's a person. And he calls me, and he says, I know I've done a lot of wrong, but I really want to talk to you, man to man. Would you afford me this opportunity? So I said, okay. And we set a time, and I went over to his house to talk to him. And he leveled with me. He said, I know I messed up when you were young. I know I have a lot of problems. Off of the stuff, I was in there. I did my time. I didn't do any bail or anything. I know I'll never be a father figure to you, but I would like to have you in my life. And so I leveled with him. I said, you're completely right on all of that, and I will give you one chance. And if you ever get on the shit again, I will never talk to you again. And I mean it. Still to this day, I mean it.
Yeah.
And it's actually inspirational to me because, as I mentioned, he has the medical problems.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, he still does not receive pain management because he doesn't want to risk it.
So what does he do?
Lives with it.
Just
he gets patches that can dull it.
Yeah.
But they're non-addictive or anything like that.
It's not an opiate or anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
And it just, they even said, we'll give you this. And he refuses any form of medication besides the patch.
He's not like in a wheelchair?
There's times he has to use a cane.
But can he walk like you and I?
Mm-hmm. Not for like extended periods or anything.
No, I don't think he can run a marathon or anything.
And I mean, it's just one of those things that to me is inspiring. Because he did have this, and he has a legitimate reason to be able to get the medication.
Oh, yeah, of course, especially with something like that.
Yeah, it's very painful. There's times where he doesn't get out of bed. And he refuses to take it because he doesn't want to risk it. And that, to me, is inspirational.
That's a good
and so
thing.
To this day, I do have a relationship with him. I just went out to eat with him the other day with Courtney. And I do love him. He's not a father figure necessarily.
Well, he still is your dad.
Yes.
Technically.
But I do love him. We have a relationship. But it's kind of, if you want to give someone a chance and you think they're sincere and they're honest, set the ground rules.
That's where we get back to setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, like, don't let them cross that stuff.
And if whatever it may be that has them, a toxic person, lying, physical abuse,
greed,
substance abuse, greed, avarice, any of it, say, if you do this, I will never talk to you again. And the hardest part is sticking to your guns.
Oh, yeah. It's having confidence in yourself to figure it out. Like,
especially if you're dealing with
like
a toxic relationship, because that can shatter your confidence.
Oh, easy. Especially when it's been, you know, going on for years and you're just so used to dealing with it. You just like laugh it off at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you're really kind of just crying inside in a way, mm-hmm. you know? Oh, man. This one got a little personal on us this week.
It did, but it's a very personal topic, and I don't feel we could talk about it without getting personal.
I kind of knew that going into the show, mm-hmm. that things were going to get kind of deep this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we started the show, we knew things were going to get a little deep with us both.
Definitely. I mean, in that first episode, I mean, the first question we did.
That was, oh, yeah, I got a lot of comments about that.
Like, really?
Like, the people just asking me, like, really? How do I say this without, I'm trying not to hurt anybody or offend anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about like a couple of the relationships that I regret mm-hmm. that I messed up.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because it was the first time one of them listens to the show regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one I asked to listen to the show that very first one to see how it sounded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As I was kind of debating on how it sounded and see if things were going good. And, she was one of the ones I regretted. You know, because mm-hmm. it came to the point where, all right, things are great. I'm waiting for it to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So in a defense mechanism mode.
You sabotage.
I look for something and I let it bother me and I called it. You know, and like I said, one of them, like I said, listens to this show and mm-hmm. she's actually a real good friend of mine. We're kind of have the relationship now of Jerry and Elaine. You know, I kind of think of it that way. You have no
I'm
idea.
Too young for that.
Are you kidding me right now, dude?
No.
Seinfeld?
Oh yeah.
Can't stand you? Nothing.
No.
Oh my god, buddy.
All I know is puffy shirt and awesome bass line.
That puffy shirt. That was a good episode too. I have all of them on my computer. And then the other one, I don't want to say anybody's name, but mm-hmm. The other one, I regret how I did things with that one.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably about three of them besides, mm-hmm. Two others besides the one we already talked about. Mm-hmm. That things were going good. You know, I just looked for the trait that mm-hmm. I didn't like and kind of said, screw it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying not to do that now. And, I really regret that. I really do.
Mm.
And, she listened to the show and she said, she heard that and she just like, you know, you don't have to sound bitter about it. I'm like, yeah, but you know, it sucks. You know, I still think about it, you know, mm-hmm. every once in a while. It's like I'll be driving down the road and I'll see something that will remind me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing happens with my ex-wife. Like I'll see something down the road, like I'm driving down the road, there's something like that we used to do together. I'm like, oh crap!
You know?
Like, I can feel it coming over me. You know, like, oh shit, here we go. Like I'm gonna have spend the next 25, 30 minutes dealing with this shit, you know. I think things are different now, and
mm-hmm.
I think getting personal on the podcast is something we should do more. I think
it's good, and it shows what we meant by unfiltered in the first episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, of course, there, if we ever do come across something that's too personal, we'll just say it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot that's not is too personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mind talking about who I am and the things
yeah.
I screwed up. I think that's a big part of becoming a gentleman, too, is realizing that you do have faults.
Yes, everyone has faults.
That you have screwed up. You have done things that are dumb. You have handled conversations cowardly. In that you are, but the difference between that is you recognize them and you want to do better the next time, and you recognize what you've done wrong,
mm-hmm.
and you want to get better, and you know, it might not happen right away. It could happen in small, gradual steps. I think that's what's happening with me personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might not be, you know, the greatest person right now. I might not be, I might be somebody different 6 months from now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope so. I hope
I probably will be.
I mean, I'm always looking to improve myself.
You always got to be a student in life.
And always, like, that's a great, always be a student of life in general. Mm-hmm. And always chipping away those rough edges and always trying to get, you know, to a place where you feel happy, you know, who you are. I think, mm-hmm. like, once you get into your 30s, and Dan, I'm not saying that you won't know this, but at least for me personally, I think once you start getting into your 30s, you're basically becoming who you are mm-hmm. and who you're going to be for the rest of your life. So if you take your first, you know, 3-4 years being your 30s and iron out those wrinkles and then become, you know, somebody. So,
wow, man. I'm sorry. I'm not yawning at your
no,
story.
No. I know what you're saying. It's like, what I'm thinking about is this show versus our old show, like how we never got personal. We never talked. Mm-hmm. We just did stupid stuff.
Whereas this show got so deep, I had to bring my shovel.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm going to need a rope, you know, to dig myself out of this, man. Like, holy hell. But I think, Danny, you got any closing? We're getting close to time. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure
we're right around 40 minutes. Yeah, so it's time to close up, I think, for this week.
I think I just want to extend the same invitation again to anyone who listens and thinks they might be experiencing toxicity in some aspect of their life and would like outside input. Shoot us a message.
Be very descriptive on so we get the full detail of what's going mm-hmm. on. That way, if we can give advice, which we will try our best to do, mm-hmm. that we can give the best advice because we know all parameters involved. Mm-hmm. So you can send us a message on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't done so yet, make sure you like our Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/ Zen of Gentlemen Podcast. How did I screw that up?
I don't know.
Facebook.com/ Zen of Gentlemen Podcast.
Cool information, little tidbits and posters, mostly done by Chris because I never have time to even sleep.
As I get bored and after I work out, when my son's not here and my girlfriend's not here, I literally have nothing to do. Mm. So after working out, I spend most of my time on Photoshop.
Fair enough.
And
what's free time?
Yeah, what's free time? I have no idea. Free time is when you're sleeping.
Yeah, well, with my work, you know this, some of our listeners that work with me might. It's feast or famine in my industry.
Oh, yeah. It's either like being a line cook, man. Mm-hmm. Just like being a line cook.
I'm doing like 12-hour days. I've been doing them the past 2 weeks, and it's going to be continuing through April.
Yeah, we just looked at your schedule for when we can do the show. Yeah.
So it's feast or famine. And then like in June and July, I'll work 1 week in each month.
Really?
Well, I work with the schools, too. School's out for that time.
True.
But it's feast or famine, so hopefully, when I start slowing down a bit more, I can pick up my pace with posting.
Oh, you're good, man. I'm not mad at you. I know you got a busy job. No. So my job affords me to have that luxury. I can be on my phone more often. So, yeah. But anyway, like I said, check us out on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ Zen of Gentlemen Podcast. Also, check out Royal Blood Designs. They just took care of our new iTunes logo. Really great stuff coming from them. They take care of all of our design work. And as you can see, they do a hell of a job. So. Mm-hmm. Danny, do you have any final remarks before we get going here?
I just want to thank people like always. I mean, we appreciate you guys listening in. We'd appreciate feedback always.
Yes. Make sure you check us out on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. Stitcher's a great app for any kind of podcast. There's lots of great podcasts
on
there.
It's like SoundCloud for podcasts.
Exactly. Lots of great bands on SoundCloud, lots of great podcasts on Stitcher. They're both free apps, TuneIn and Stitcher. Mm-hmm. You have to create a quick account. They don't really ask for a lot of
personal. You can sign in with Facebook.
Yeah, you can sign in with Facebook. And then they get your personal interest right there. They don't post anything on your wall or grab your personal info, any of that crap. But it's a really great app to get. And they're both free, both instant downloads. And they don't stream a whole. The data to stream them is not a lot. It's almost like Pandora where it's like 64 kilobytes per second, which is nothing. Mm-hmm. Because like Slacker does like 320, which you can use a gig in less than an hour. I mean, it's just nuts. Check out us on all those venues. Just search for the show, the Zen of Gentlemen Podcast, and you'll be bringing us up real quick. So other than that, I'm clear. Danny?
I'm good.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week.
Oh, wait.
Oh, we forgot to talk what we're going to talk about next week, didn't we?
Oh, we forgot. And we forgot to end with a quote. Wow, we almost shot ourselves in the foot.
We must be tired.
Yeah. I've been drinking Death Wish coffee all day, and I'm still tired.
Valhalla Java, buddy.
And for any of the coffee nuts out there. I'm a firm supporter of Death Wish Coffee, which has an obscene amount of caffeine in it.
obscene. And, I know you made me order on Amazon. I know.
Because you got the Amazon
program. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like per ounce has more caffeine than espresso.
And espresso's like...
It's the world's strongest coffee. They have their Death Wish original. Then they worked with Zach Wilde, guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne and Black Label Society, to do the Valhalla Java, which is the one that I drink through an IV.
You've had six cups today, you told me.
Yep. As opposed to normally I drink about a pot of coffee a day.
Oh, my God.
So the quote for this week comes from a European football player. So to Americans, that's soccer. He played on several Scandinavian teams. If I remember correctly, Sweden, Switzerland, and several teams from the Faroe Islands.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And he now owns a team in the Faroe Islands.
Wow. All right.
And the quote is relevant to this, as I always try to make them.
Try to.
So the quote from Mr. Hans F. Hansen.
I like that name.
The middle name, I wasn't even going to try because it's a Scandinavian name that has all kinds of weird characters.
Or something?
I'll show you and I'll post it on Facebook.
Let me see.
The quote is, people inspire you or they drain you. Pick them wisely.
Oh, yeah. That couldn't be any more true, especially for what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be sure to tune in next week. We are going to do a gentleman's guide to style.
Style tips, maybe we'll mix in some grooming tips there too.
Quite possibly.
Some shaving techniques, maybe we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we could do some shaving techniques. I'll probably shave live on the podcast. We'll talk maybe. Well, something we could probably do.
I have no experience with shaving.
I had to learn how to shave a completely different way. But anyway, so that's it for this week, guys. We really appreciate you tuning in. Tune in. Okay.
And Stisher.
We really appreciate you guys listening this week. And keep sticking with us. We got some great things planned for the future. Screwed up the outro. All right, guys. Well, thank you again for listening. And we'll talk to you soon.